Love God. Lift other God. Lift other God.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Let's start here. It says this: everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who builds his house on an unshakable foundation. And when the rains fell and the flood came, with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who builds his house upon sand. That when it rained and the flood came and the wind came and the waves beat upon the house, it collapsed and was swept away. Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now for your anointing to be in this place. Your word already tells us that when two or three are gathered together, there you are in our midst. Father, your word also tells us that when we worship you, you are enthroned in the presence of the people. So, Lord, we know you're here. Now, Lord God, we tune our ears in, not to hear me, not to hear a preacher, but to hear your voice, Lord God, that you would give us a word that would help us today with the times that we're going through. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. What I just read that to you therein is in the Passion Translation. And it's a very familiar scripture. It's about the wise man built his house upon the rock. And if you used to go to church in the 80s, 70s, or 60s, you might remember the song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." Anybody remember that song? We got some OGs in here. All right, that's all right. And it comes from this scripture here that talks about Jesus giving a parable and comparing people that have enduring faith with people that have a faith that's not so enduring, okay? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is having enduring faith. All right, so if you're taking notes, write that down. And you can put in parentheses, toughen up, buttercup. Come on, somebody. You know, that's a Pastor Charles Neiman term there. Many years ago, he came and preached at our church. And he spoke that phrase. I guess it's a West Texas phrase. But that always stays with me, because we need to be people that are tough. Can I get an amen on that? We've got too many so-called believers and Christians that are weak, that are easily offended, that are always mad, that are always getting their feelings hurt. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that we're supposed to have enduring faith, a faith that cannot be shaken. Let me read to you from the Message Translation, that same scripture in Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Y'all ready for this? I said, y'all ready for this? Yeah. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him we're having big boy church today. Come on, tell him. It says this: these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. You know what he's saying right there? The things I'm telling you aren't just so to enhance your life, to make your marriage a little better, to make your business a little better. He says, that's not what I'm giving you. Listen to what he says. He says, these are foundational words, words to build your life on. And if you work these words into your life, then you're like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. The rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit. California don't know nothing about tornadoes. I've been in some tornadoes in Florida. It says, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. He says, but if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, come on, somebody, how many know that's what Christians do? We study words that we never do. Some of us don't even study. Oh, don't get me started on that. He says this, but if you just use my words in Bible study and don't work them into my life, then you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. And when a storm rolled in, come on, COVID-19, and when a storm rolled in, 2020, and when a storm rolled in, and she left. And when a storm rolled in and you lost your job. And when a storm rolled in and you're not married yet. And the waves came up. And you didn't buy a house yet. It collapsed like a house of cards. Are y'all seeing this? Folks, what Jesus is trying to get us to do as believers is build our lives on his words. Not add our 2 cents. Not, well, that's not how I see it. Well, my tío says this. Well, my aunt says this. Well, my old friends say this. He says, no, listen, quit just studying my word. Quit just hearing my words in church and build your life on it. Let me just tell you something, folks. Your faith, if it hasn't already, is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. And you want to know why? Because faith that's not tested cannot be trusted. Come on, somebody. How many know that's true? On Wednesday, I'm going to get on a plane that's going to take me across the country. But you know what? Before I ever get on that plane, they have tested the engine. They have tested the technology. They have tested that thing over and over again so that they can put people on it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Your faith must be tested. Amen. Now, here's the thing. You need to understand that when your faith is being tested, it's not so that you can draw back. It's not a bad thing. It's so that you can build upon it. And that you can have an understanding that that faith is to be lasting. We got an epidemic in America with believers today. People don't have enduring faith. You know what they have? Temporary faith. They have faith for a few weeks, a few months, some even a few years. But that's not the kind of faith we need. Let me show you the kind of faith we need. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. It says this. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you who has an evil heart of unbelief. Interesting that the Bible calls an unbelieving heart an evil heart. See, we would only compare evil to things that hurts people. But come on, evil is things. Evil is considered anything that maybe hurts the heart of God. And unbelief in our heart hurts the heart of God. Look what it says here. Lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What's the writer of Hebrews saying here? He says, beware. Somebody's coming for your faith. Don't get all comfortable being saved today. He says, beware, be on guard, because you just may not last in this thing if you're not careful. We're too casual in our faith. You got to understand, this faith got to be protected. This eternal life, this salvation, this citizenship to heaven, you got to protect this thing. Somebody's coming for it. And you know how they're going to come for it? Through unbelief. That's why we say all the time, you've got to feed your faith. And while you're feeding your faith, starve your doubts to death. That's why we come to church. That's why when you come, you should be taking notes. You should be writing some stuff down. Listen, this ain't like your old church where you came in and you thought just coming to church gave you brownie points. New Testament church is like the gym. You get what you put in. How many know that's like the gym? How many of y'all tried just going to the gym? Just going to the gym don't cut it. Amen? We could post all we want. I made it. Hey. Baby steps. But when it's been 6 months of baby steps, you a year in, just, at least I made it. There's people who go to church like that. I'm here at least. But listen, you got to get, if you're going to get something out of this, it's going to be what you put into it. So look what he says. He says, beware lest through an evil heart of unbelief you depart from the living God. He says this, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, listen, through the deceitfulness of sin. A life apart from God will lie to you. It'll deceive you. I don't need God. I don't need church. I'm good. No, you're not good. Sin's deceiving you. It'll deceive you. Listen to what he says here. For we have become partakers of Christ. Catch this now. If. Everybody say that word.
If.
Say it with some gumption.
If.
We're partakers of Christ.
If.
That's if is a big word. See, so many of us are just like, we're partakers of Christ. I'm in. But there's an if there. The if is this. If we hold the beginning of our confidence, here it is, steadfast till the end. Tell your friend, you ain't in yet. Tell him next to you. You're not in yet. Ooh, some of us didn't like that. We didn't like that. What you mean I'm not in? I'm saved. I'm just reading the Bible to you. Tell your other neighbor, you ain't saved yet. Tell him. Ooh, we don't like that. You just took away my fire insurance, Pastor. That's why I'm here, because, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm just reading the Bible to you, y'all. We become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. You got to protect this thing. You got to be steadfast until the end. Until the end. I've been serving God 30 years, and in that 30-year period, I've seen people come and I've seen people go. I've had pastors that aren't even serving God today. Pastors. I was discipled by some dudes that aren't even walking with Jesus today. And they taught me in the ways of the word. Greater men than me have fallen. Come on, there have been people that have built 5,000 member churches and aren't serving God today. Could it be because they didn't hold steadfast until the end? I don't want that to be the case for you. How many want to last? Then you got to have some enduring faith. We got to get out of this Western American Christian mindset. How many know what I'm talking about? Christians are babies today. Babies! If you could hear reasons why people leave churches, it is almost comical. It's almost comical. The only reason it's not comical is because they allow that to be reasons why they don't serve God. You go to church? No, I don't go to church no more. Why? Because nobody talks to me at church. I was going to that church for months. Nobody even said hi to me. Guess what? I went to a Kings game. And I paid money for my seat. Didn't nobody talk to me? It was even worse when I went to a Giant game. Where's Mondo? Where's Mondo? I went to a Giant game. I got mad dogged. But guess what? I enjoyed those games. And guess what? I'm going to go back. But there are people that stopped going to church because somebody didn't talk to them. My question is this: well, who did you talk to? You're a big boy. Come on, I told you we're going to have big boy church, amen? You're a big girl. Who did you go over and say, hey, what's your name? Come on, I taught my kids that in kindergarten. Sunday, you go ask them their name. Go talk to somebody. Amen? So you might have saw this thing online. Go ahead and put that slide up. Some few of you tagged me in it, but I saw this earlier this week, and it just made me laugh. It's 12 reasons why a pastor quit attending sporting events. So this pastor went to a game, and he said, I'll never go back because the coach never came to visit me. Do you know there are people that left churches because a pastor never visited them? Come on, tell your neighbor, toughen up, buttercup. Tell him, just tell him. Look at reason number two. Every time I went, they asked me for money. If you are a parent with kids in sports, you know what I'm talking about. My kids have played all little league, soccer, and every time I signed them up, I had to pay money. And then they'd say, oh, well, we need money for the after parties after the game. So then I'd have to give them some more money. And then they'd say, oh, he needs special pads for his position. He needs this and this. So then I'd have to go and give money for that. And you know what I would do? I would do it. Because I'm not a punk pat. I'm not a punk fat father. Amen? Can't even say it. Can't even say it. It's what you do. How many know what I'm talking about? You do it. We do it. How many parents have kids in softball, baseball, soccer? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Don't get me started on gymnastics. If you got a kid in gymnastics, oh my. You pay a lot of money. And then they have a rule. If your kid's practicing, you have to be here. Gymnastics practices every single night of the week. So you just got a second job. Because you got to go for 2 hours every night to watch little Julie do somersaults. And let's be honest, she ain't even good. She ain't even good. She ain't even good. But you buy in the leotard, you spend in the time, and they had this other thing in gymnastics, right? If your kid was in gymnastics, that as a parent, you had to come out once a month and you had to help clean the gym. You had to come out and work snack bar. Mind you, you paid to put her in there, and you're there every night. They should be paying you. But guess what? We do it. We do it. because we want our kids in sports. But the minute church asks for anything from you, I ain't going back there. All these offerings they be taking up, what's that go to? It goes to the lights. It goes to the air condition, the heating. Listen, we paying on a building that's on Florin Road. It pays for a pastor so I could be full time and not working a job where you can't get a hold of me. Soon it will pay for a full-time youth pastor that could take care of your crazy teenagers and do what you won't do. Oh, come on, somebody. Soon it'll be a full-time children's pastor that can make sure our children's ministry is booming, banging, they learning, your kids coming home praying in tongues. But we got to have enduring faith for that. Because the way people are right now, well, every time I went to church, they talked about money. Or they try to get me to sign up for the outreach. See, you laugh, but people leave church over these things. And it's dumb. Tell your neighbor it's dumb. I said it. Tell him it's dumb. Tell him. Don't get me that. You ain't going to get struck dead. You use worse words than that at home. Come on. Looking at me like that. Look at number three. The people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly. Look at y'all checking out everybody in your row. Look, I saw you. I sat next to some knuckleheads at an A's game before. Oh my gosh, drinking, cussing. Every song came on they had to dance to, try to get on the camera. I'm like, they ain't gonna show you. You're ugly. They only put pretty people up there. They was doing that. Sit down and watch the game. But you know what? I got another ticket for another game too. It didn't stop me. And it shouldn't stop you. It shouldn't stop you if you have enduring faith. All right? We got great people here, but I don't know all of you. And somebody might mad dog you on the way in. Keep your purse close. I don't know everybody like that. But that shouldn't keep you from the house of God. Come on, let's grow up a little bit. Amen? Let's keep going. Number four, seats were very hard. I didn't like the lights at the church. Oh, those lights were just, oh. Oh, the seats. Oh, I like the seats at my old church. You didn't even go there. You didn't like them that much. See, we're laughing, but these are all reasons people stop going to church. Keep going. Number five. This is what he said at a game. The referees made a decision that I didn't agree with. So I'm not going back to the game. You never hear that. You want to know why? Because that's stupid. But we hear it in church all the time. We hear it in church all the time. Amen. Look at number six. I was sitting with hypocrites. They only came to see what other people were wearing. Oh, I don't go to church no more because there's a lot of hypocrites there. What's that got to do with you? Oh, we got them here too. They're everywhere. Can I tell you something? Hypocrites are everywhere. Everywhere. You work with them. You're working out next to one. You're not going to the gym. Well, some of us are, but anyways. It ain't because of the hypocrites. You didn't quit your, everybody at my job's a hypocrite. I don't want to work there. No, you need money. So you mind your business, you do your job, you get your check. Amen? Can you do the same thing at church? Absolutely. I mind my business, I get the word, I serve God. Miss me with that hypocrisy stuff. Miss me with your gossip. You not taking my faith. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're not taking my faith. Come on, are we growing up this morning? I feel like we're growing up this morning. I feel like we're growing up. Look at the next one here. Number seven. Some games went into overtime, and I was late getting home. So I stopped going. You will never hear that. I watched the Warrior game the other night, and they were playing Memphis. That thing went into overtime. The fans went nuts. You know why? Because they paid $300 a ticket. They paid $300 a ticket, and they're like, cool, I get an extra quarter for the money I paid to be here. They went nuts because they love basketball. But church goes a little too long for some folk. I don't go to church no more. That pastor be going too long. They're going too long. Listen, we're mindful. Because y'all don't know what long church is. Well, I could tell you some stuff. Vanessa Rios, she could tell you some stuff. We've seen some long church before. Church that starts at 8 for Sunday school. And then you think church is over. No, no, no. Sunday school's over. Service starts at 9. And then everybody and their mom got to get up and give a testimony. And hermana so-and-so's testimony's got to outdo brother so-and-so's testimony. And then this other fool thinks it's an American Idol, and he goes, I just want to testify, but I want to sing a song. He can't sing. He can't sing. And we sit all through that, and you'd go at 8, you'd come at 1. That's long church. That's long church. If we go a little long, it's usually like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But there are people leaving churches for that reason. But they'll never leave a ball game. Come on, we don't walk out of movies when it goes long. Come on, what was Marvel's Endgame? 2.5 hours? 3 hours? You didn't go. I was like, I'm getting my money's worth. That's good. I'd be like, make them longer. Make them longer. You charging me $12 now? Make them longer. I should be getting 2 movies for $12. But why is it? When we come to church, and I'm not advocating, please don't get nervous. We're not going to make our services longer or anything like that. Some of y'all are getting nervous. But I'm just saying, why in every other aspect of life do we not mind that? But when it comes to church, we're on a schedule. We're on a schedule. You ain't on a schedule for nothing else in your life. You are late to everything. You late to everything. You got kids, they late to everything. Can't get them to the game on time. Walk in the movies all late. How many know those people? Excuse me. I'll be, man, come on, dude. The thing said it started at 11. 11:15, you walking in. You ain't got a schedule for nothing, but when you come to church, oh, pastor better be done by 11:30. See what I'm saying? That's not enduring faith. Keep going. Let's go to the next one. I got a couple more here. Y'all catching this today? Are we growing up today? Look at this one. The band played some songs I never heard before. I have heard people say, well, I stopped going to that church because I didn't like the worship. That's how we doing now? That's what we're going to let dictate our growth and where God wants us in life if we like everything our way? I'm just going to tell you, you ain't going to make it. I remember when I got saved. I got saved at the largest Caucasian church in the area. At that time, it was Capital Christian Center. Still in existence. Y'all see them. Since then, they're a little bit more integrated. But my family had the awesome privilege of being the first Latino family in the first year of the school when it started. The first year, we were the only brown people there. Only once. Then when I got saved, right? I got saved in a church. I was driving to church listening to the Two Life Crew. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, I don't want to get me started on that. I'm in the car listening to NWA to get to church. I get to church and there's an older Caucasian man up there. Once again, Amazing Grace. They had an orchestra pit with an orchestra. And I'm driving from Del Coronado Way in South Sac in my dad's Carmagia, listening to hip hop, walking into that church, and God gets a hold of me. Can I just be honest with you? And this is not a critique against them. Man, they've done amazing things. There wasn't a single thing in that church I could relate to. A single thing. When I walked in, when me and my boy Troy, Pastor Troy, he was with me. When we walk in there, everybody looked at us. Like, can we help y'all with something? Oh, no, we just here to get Jesus. Oh, okay, go ahead. We got that almost every Sunday. Are you boys all right? We look around. Yeah, we good. Can we help you with something? Oh, we come to hear the word. We never let it cause us to stop coming. Ever. And every Sunday we got up and this dude and this orchestra played songs from the 1800s. From the 1800s. And we would come in there and we would endure that. I thought that's what worship was. God, this, okay, I'm gonna worship you, God. I'm gonna worship you with this. Lift my hands to this old man up there singing. Lift my hands to this orchestra music. Why? Because my God was worthy. And I would sit there with a pastor who would never wear an outfit like this on a Sunday morning. He was an old dude, man of God, with a three-piece suit. We had nothing in common. But I sat under that word and I learned. Nobody talked to me when I got saved. Nobody. I went saved. I went to the altar. I didn't have an altar worker. You want to know why? Because when I got saved, boy, I was crying. I was scary crying. Y'all know what scary crying is? Some of you cry real nice. Oh, Father. Oh. I was crying like Pookie got shot. I was crying like Ricky. Come on, boys in the hood. Ricky. So they had altar workers. They had altar workers, but they're, oh, you get that one. You take care of him. Thankfully, at that time, there was one Hispanic guy on staff, Pastor Hector from over at Thrive Church. He came over and had my back. He said, I got you. He'll pray for you. To this day, I always remind him of that. I said, man, you helped me. You helped me. But my point is this. I didn't need stuff because I had Jesus. I didn't let that keep me from pursuing God. I didn't let somebody's looks or nobody talk to me. Come on, man. Come on. You know when nobody talks to you, it says more about you than them? When nobody talks to you, look in the mirror and go, you know what? What do I look like? How many know there are people out there that don't look approachable? Oh, come on. Some of us were raised to not look approachable. Right? That's how we grew up, right? Walk with our fists like this. Like you ready to steal on somebody? You 42, you still walking like that. Sometimes the reason people don't approach, it's not them, it's you. Tell your neighbor, it's not you, it's me. Tell him. So when I look back on my experience at that church, guess what I see now? It wasn't them, it was me. I wouldn't have talked to me either. Looking back, I go, man, bless their hearts. They had to put up with my appearance at their church. Coming in all crazy, not respecting the boundaries. I remember one Sunday, Pastor Troy and I just had the crazy idea. Let's go sit on the front. Whoa, they got seats up there. Well, we don't have that same protocol here, but they had a sharp protocol over there. You know, it's a 4,000 member church. You get a lot of crazy people. You got to put protocols in place. We walk right past the ushers and we was like, what's up, man? What's up? We're up there. Hey, how you doing? Did you know they snatched us up and said, oh, y'all can't sit here? And we said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. We went and sat somewhere else.
We didn't go, why? Oh, snap. Why can't we sit here? We didn't do that. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. How many know what I'm talking about? We got to grow up. Come on, look at number 9. The games are scheduled on my only days to sleep in and run errands. Why don't you go to church? Oh, man, I got this new job. And, you know, this job, it just keeps me, you know, I can't go. Oh, but when your kid gets a game, you get that day off, don't you? Or you got them season niner tickets, didn't you? That got you out of bed, didn't you? Didn't it? See, and I'm not against any of that stuff, right? But the point is this. When you love something, you get to it. When you love something, you get to it. Right? You love the Kings. They don't love you back. Come on, they don't love us back, y'all. They don't. But I'm going to two games before the end of the year. I'll be there. I like NBA basketball, right? So I go. The same thing applies to your love for Jesus. Quit letting dumb things get in the way. Number 10, my parents took me to too many games growing up. I heard that one too. Pastor, I just don't go to church every Sunday because I was raised in church. And to be honest, I'm just over it. You don't love God like that. Oh, no. I love God. See, this is what I'm saying. Let's grow up, y'all. Let's get rid of these excuses. Last two. Go ahead and put them up there. Last two. Since I read a book on sports, oh, this is a good one, I feel that I know more than the coaches anyway. Now, I don't go to church no more because I do my own studying at home. I've heard this. Pastor Willard's preaching next week. Oh, I probably won't come. I've been saved longer than him. Let me just tell you something. Being saved long means nothing. When it comes to maturity, it does mean something. It means you've been in it a minute. Let's pat you on the back for that. Amen. But you could still be an infant in God without obedience. And then there's some of us, they get saved, and we just obey, and God grows you up quick. You know, when I got saved, I became a full-time pastor in 2 years of my own church. Wasn't even married yet. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm telling you, everybody has their own journey. And so this thing of, well, I study on my own, I don't need to go to church. Guys, it's excuses, and you just sound dumb. Got real quiet in here. That's the last one here. I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. Nobody says that. You know what dads do to little boys? Go out for a pass. I don't want to. Just go out. But I don't like football. Boy, you better get out there and catch this football. How many know what I'm talking about? Your little girl can't even run. She can't even run. You sign her up for soccer. Her legs ain't even formed. It's like Bambi, you know. And you pushing her to soccer. You got her right there. She could barely walk on her own. Kick the ball, mija, kick the ball. But when it comes to church, I don't want to force anything on my kids. Come on, you had your little girl dress up like Harry Potter as a baby. Your little boy didn't care who Luke Skywalker was. He was teaching him all this stuff. Oh, he's a Jedi. Kids like, I don't care about that. We push stuff on our kids all the time. And you won't push him towards Jesus? Come on, tell your neighbor, miss me with that one right there. Miss me with that. Are you guys catching something while I'm saying here? Let me finish this up for you because the people that want to get home on time. Give me looks right now. So back to Hebrews, right? So Hebrews is warning us, Hebrews 3, 12 through 15. Beware, brethren, lest any of you get an evil heart of unbelief that causes you to depart from the living God. And then he says this, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast all the way until the end. That means this, guys, we've got to protect our faith. We've got to grow up. We've got to quit making excuses. It's nobody's fault but your own if you're not serving Jesus. Nobody's fault. Yeah, but Pastor, I used to go to this church and the pastor stole money. And after he did that, I was just like, man, forget this Christian thing. Then forget it. If that's what you built your life on, what another pastor did, you will not make it. So I remember when I got saved, man, I got saved and I wanted Jesus. You know why I wanted Jesus? Because I knew how jacked up I was without him. See, I wish some of you would remember how jacked up you were before you had him. Because some of you have romanticized your old life. You know, the old Facebook posts come up when you was in the club and you're like, oh, I look so good. No, you really didn't. You really didn't. You was all right. You was all right, but in your mind, you were the queen of the ball, you know? We romanticized that thing. You start looking back on your old life like you was an old player. No, you was just old. You wasn't a player. And we romanticize it, and so we never get the understanding that without Jesus, I'm nothing. Man, when I got saved, guys, it was so radical. It was like, I ain't never going back. So I started walking, right? I started following Jesus. And I remember I was watching Christian TV one day. And there was this guy, and he was crying. He was talking about kids that they were feeding, and he needed help. And so I felt a little nudge in my spirit. I felt a little nudge. I said, oh, I'm gonna send that guy $100. Never did this before, ever. I was like you. I saw all that stuff on TV. I thought I saw scams. And I felt this little nudge. I felt the Holy Spirit say, send him $100. So I did. 2 days later, I'm watching the game. And it comes up, dun, 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 dun. Remember that, 2020? And don't miss 2020 this week as we expose Pastor so-and-so for stealing money from people, saying he's collecting it for kids. My heart sunk. I was like, what? So I watched the 2020 program, and I saw the guy I sent money to, and they had busted him, cold-busted him. Dude was buying helicopters and gold toilets for his dogs and crazy stuff, air-conditioned dog houses, crazy stuff. I felt so stupid. And then I began to listen for the voice of God. I said, God, why'd you have me send that? And here's what I heard. God says, you didn't give it to him. You gave it to me. And he said this to me. That seed's in my hands. You're good. You watch what happens to that man. You don't worry about him. I got him and I got you. And you know what I did? Okay, Jesus, no problem. I'm gonna keep going. But do you know there were other people that saw that report on 2020 and they're not serving Jesus no more? And they say, well, why don't you serve God? Well, because I sent my money to those kind of preachers and they ripped me off. This thing ain't real. There's people like that. You don't be one of them. Do you know the world is a crazy place? And when you take the world out, people from the world, and you put them in a church, how many know a lot of crazy comes with us? Do y'all know that? You know where the crazy comes from? It comes from you. And so somebody that was ripping people off in the world, get saved. Now he's ripping people off in the church. But you know what it's not going to do? It's not going to mess with my faith. Because my faith has nothing to do with him. My faith has everything to do with him. So then I'm saved about 2 years. I get ordained, and one of my favorite pastors that mentored me, that taught me the word, it comes out that he's a homosexual. Big scandal. I remember when I heard about it, I just, my jaw dropped. I said, oh my gosh. And the first thing that started flooding my mind, is this thing I'm in even real? How could he be doing all this stuff? I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg. He was doing other crazy stuff. I said, how can this faith be real if the guy that taught me the word of God has all that going on and all these, the enemy just start flooding my mind. This ain't real. This ain't real. And I had to step back and I had to reexamine the situation. And I had all this evidence that said that the thing I was in was not real. But the evidence that nothing out here could take away was the evidence that was in my life. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was bound, but now I'm free. And the reason I'm free wasn't because of that pastor. It wasn't because of that church. It wasn't because of this person, of that person. It was because of the word of God in my life. And you can't take that, baby. You can't take that. So at the end of the day, when the smoke cleared and people were leaving Jesus, man, I know people that I was serving God with at that time, they still have not come back to the faith. And they point to what that man did as the reason they don't serve God anymore. And they think that's a reason. It's not. The problem is this. They built their faith on his words, that church, that ministry, and they did not build it upon the solidness of God's word. And those people aren't here anymore. They're not here anymore. They have not endured until the end. Put that back up there, Hebrews 3, 12, 15. They have not endured till the end. Guys, there's going to come things that are going to come into your life that seem like reasons for you to stop serving God. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. And you've got to make solid in your life. Nothing can take what Jesus gave me away. If you can't do that, maybe, just maybe, you really don't have this thing like you think. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the wheat and the tares growing together. Remember that? Looks like a Christian, sounds like a Christian, but isn't a Christian. Make sure that's not you. Today, it's another checkup. What am I building my life on? Pastor Sergio and Tina? Pastor Willard, the Delgados? Elevate Life Church? You better not. You better build this thing on his word. You don't build it on your friendships in this room. You don't build it on this preacher or that preacher or this Instagram preacher. Or be careful of them too. This Facebook preacher. No, you better build this thing on the word. Because if everybody else fails, I'm good. Why? Because I know what God has done in my heart. I know I wouldn't have the life that I have without him. Point blank. Point blank. It's like what the disciples said. Jesus said, you want to leave too? Remember when the 4,000 people left him because he got up and preached a challenging message? Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. They said, we're out. He looked at the 12 and said, you want to go too? Because you can. They said this, Jesus, where are we going to go? You have everything. I pray that that is your response. If anybody in this room ever fails you, myself included, our team, if you ever get offended, if anything doesn't go the way you want, don't stop serving God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. See, this thing has an if in it. And the if is, if you endure till the end. I'm glad you're saved now. I'm glad. We really are. We're glad you're a part of this church now. We really are. But it means nothing if you don't endure to the end. If you don't endure to the end, you don't get to be a partaker of all that Jesus Christ died to give you, which includes heaven, includes eternal life. It includes all that. Know this, you're going to have to go through some stuff. That's why I'm telling you, toughen up, buttercup. because Satan's coming for you. And he'll get you mad at somebody else in the church. Oh, he'll get you mad at me. He'll get you mad at my wife. He'll get you mad at Pastor Willard or the Delgados, or he'll get you mad at the head usher. Well, I was an usher. I didn't like the way he didn't have to talk to me like that. You just listen. You got to be like Neo. Y'all remember Neo in The Matrix? A walk with Jesus is just like that. Yeah. Satan's trying to get you mad, get you upset, uproot you from where he's planted you, and people's attitudes are going to come, misunderstandings are going to come, and you got to stay rooted and just be like, shoo. You may feel like somebody wasn't there for you when they should have been. You may feel let down. You may feel unloved, but you got to take that stuff and you got to grow up. When are we going to quit crying about not being loved and love somebody? When are we going to quit crying about nobody cares about me and you start caring for somebody? We got to grow up. Tell your neighbor, we got to grow up. Buttercup. Let me give you a few scriptures. I'm almost done. Charles, if you could come on up. See, the buttercup is the sugar that makes it go down a little easier, right? If we just tell you toughen up, you get all hurt. But if we call you buttercup, oh, so sweet. You do love me. Matthew 24, look what Jesus himself says. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my sake. They're going to say bad things about you on Facebook. We're seeing little bits of this already. Look what it says here. And then many, everybody say many, will be offended. Many will have hurt feelings. And Jesus says, get over it. No, he doesn't say that. Look what it says here. And many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But look what it says here. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Let's read that again, everybody. Hallelujah. He got excited. Should have been here for Manny. He would have flowed with that right there. The B3 organ going. Okay. Y'all see that? He who endures to the end. Jesus told us. He says there's a lot of bad stuff coming. If you can make it through, you'll be saved. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying to you today. Toughen up. There's going to be some bad stuff that's coming. But if you make it through it, you'll be saved. People are going to make you mad. But if you cannot be offended, you're going to be saved. Some Christians are going to say some dumb stuff to you. You got to forgive them and last till the end. Somebody in this church is going to make you mad. But if you can forgive them and make it to the end, you'll be saved. Are you tracking with me? Toughen up. You ain't gonna like everything that happens to you. Here's something you gotta realize real quick. Church is not about you, your wife. Smile at me, church. Your crazy kids. No. Your kids. Your teenagers. You wanna know who it's about? Jesus. It's about Jesus. If we can all make it about Jesus, this is how good God is. If we can all gather together around Jesus, he then makes it about us. But we first got to make it about him. Come on, think about it. Christmas, right? Jesus' birthday. Who gets the gifts? We do. Anytime you make it about Jesus, he makes it about you. But guess what? As long as it's about you, it stays about you. And that's where we get selfishness. That's where we get offense, anger, bitterness. What about me? What? All that stuff, guys. It'll choke the life out of you. It'll make you sick. Proverbs says it dries the bones. Brings a spirit of infirmity on your life. People are always mad and bitter. Watch out. Jesus said, bad stuff's coming, but if you can endure, you'll be saved. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, he's our example, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him, here it is, endured. Hebrews 12, guys. Endured the cross. Put that on the screen, guys, in the back. Stay with me. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Y'all see that? Look unto Jesus. Did Jesus have to go through some stuff? Was everybody on his team cool? Judas betrayed him, right? He spent the most time with Peter, and Peter was hard-headed, chopping off people's ears. My question is, Peter, why you still got a knife on you? Been walking with me for 3 years. You still carrying a knife? Come on, man. Jesus could have been offended with the disciples, but he wasn't, because he knew it was on the other side. Let me leave you with this last thing, Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. There it is. Endurance. An endurance run is different than a sprint. We got too many Christians sprinting, running hard for a week, a month, 6 months. Change your pace. Change your pace. It's an endurance run. It looks a lot different running cross country than the 50-meter dash. A lot different. Them dudes that hear the gun, they give their all. And some people come to church, they give their all. Sign me up, sign me up, sign me up. What can I do? What can I do? Here, I'm tithing, I'm giving. Hey, 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 hey. Get an endurance pace. We're going to be here a while. We're going to be here a while. This is forever. Change your pace. Understand it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Look what he says here. Run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. We just read that part. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary, discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. Says this, if you don't catch this morning, you can be discouraged in your souls. You can become weary. Jesus went through it. People made Jesus mad. People offended Jesus. People let Jesus down. But he was like Neo. Every time something came. And you got to be like that. Let's not be like this trend of offense. Well, I go to this church now because I like this better. Baby, it's not about you. You might like that better, but where did God plant you? Maybe he don't want you there. Yeah, but I love their music. It don't mean he wants you there. Yeah, but my friends go over here. That don't mean he wants you there. Maybe you need new friends. We got to hear from God. We got to make church about him. Come on, let's stand on our feet. I want your faith to be enduring. It's got to last. 30 years serving God, I've seen some crazy stuff. I've had crazy people say things about me, people that I loved betray me. I've had people that I trusted take advantage, but I'm still here. And I plan on staying here. You can't move the faith that's in my heart. And I pray that you'll position yourself that nobody around you can shake your faith. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning for this word. May we get our eyes off of people. May we throw out the excuses. Lord, excuses are for losers. Winners don't make excuses. We just win. We just last. We just endure the hardness as a good soldier. And I pray for every person here that's maybe just dealing with an offense in their heart. Maybe they're mad at their last church, their last pastor. Maybe they're offended with me. Maybe we didn't do what they thought we should have did at a certain time. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would give the same grace to the people that we're hurt with that you give to us. Because you forgive me when I offend you. So I have to offend others. I have to forgive others when they offend me. And I pray that every person, Lord God, would have the ability to do that here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.